I'll be reading from 1 Corinthians 11, starting at verse 17. In the following directives, I have no praise for you, for your meetings do more harm than good. In the first place, I hear that when you come together as a church, there are divisions among you. And to some extent, I believe it. No doubt there have to be differences among you to show which of you have God's approval. So then, when you come together, it is not the Lord's Supper you eat. For when you are eating, some of you go ahead with your own private suppers. As a result, one person remains hungry and another gets drunk. Don't you have homes to drink at, or eat at, and drink in? Or do you despise the church of God by humiliating those who have nothing? What shall I say to you? Shall I praise you? Certainly not in this manner. For I have received from the Lord what I also pass to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took the bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup in the new covenant is my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. So then, whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of sinning against the body and the blood of the Lord. Everyone ought to examine themselves before they eat of the bread and drink from the cup. For those who eat and drink without discerning the body of Christ eat and drink judgment on themselves. That is why many among you are weak and sick, and a number of you have fallen asleep. But if we were more discerning with regard to ourselves, we would not come under such judgment. Nevertheless, when we are judged in this way by the Lord, we are being disciplined, so that we will not be finally condemned with the world. So then, my brothers and sisters, when you gather to eat, you should all eat together. Anyone who is hungry should eat something at home, so that when you meet together, it may not result in judgment. And when I come, I will give further directions.
Let us pray. Lord, we're a church that's wanting to learn how to love like Jesus loves. And help us to learn a little bit more about how to do that this morning. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Has there ever been a time when you've been humiliated at church? Maybe where you walked in and sat down at a pew and somebody walks up to you and says, "Oh, that's my seat." Or maybe you go and you sit down in a Sunday school class and it took a little bit of courage to stay for class, but you did. And you walked over and you sat down in that Sunday school class and nobody talked to you. Nobody introduced themselves. And you just felt like you didn't belong. Or maybe you've had the experience of coming in to the church assembly and you muster up that courage to go meet that new person. And you say, "Hi, my name is," and they just blow you off. Has that ever happened to you? Have you ever been humiliated at church like that? And if you have, what did you feel like? Share a little bit about your emotion. You probably felt embarrassed, a little ashamed. Maybe even started to wonder, is something wrong with me? Do I just not fit in here? Do I not belong? Am I unwanted? What is it? There's an old camp skit that you've probably seen before if you've been to Christian camp somewhere, where you have a huddle of people and they're all huddled together with their arms around one another and they're all singing the song, "We are one in the Spirit, we are one in the Lord." And there's this one person over here and they want to break into the huddle. And so they keep poking their head in one place, and then they just push them aside, and poke their head in over here. Oh, they push them aside. Poke their head over here. Push them aside. Just won't let them in the huddle. And all the time, the huddle, group in the huddle, they're singing, "We are one in the Spirit. We are one." And they get to the chorus. And remember what the chorus? "And they'll know we are Christians by our love. By our love. Yes, they'll know we are Christians by our love." And we get the whole point of the skit. That here you have this group, and they're all bonded together and feeling really good and saying, "We're loving like Jesus loves," when there's someone right outside who's not feeling welcome. And that never happens at Southside, okay? That never happens here, right? Now, I know I'm biased, but I think that we're a little better than most, right? You know, we try to welcome people in. We try to introduce ourselves. We try to make sure they know where to go and what to do. We've got great greeters back there, don't we? Those were the greeters who amened, you know. But I know there are some of us here, I don't know specifics, but I know that there are some of us here who have felt humiliated here at Southside. And you have been that person who've seen that huddle and thought, "Man, there's a lot of really good stuff going on here. There's a lot of really good ministry. Look at the Christian fellowship they have. I want to be a part of that." And so we stick our nose in, we stick our head in, we try to get in, and we just get pushed away. Oh, we didn't mean to push them away. It was unintentional, believe me. It was something very, very subtle, but we push someone away. And there's a time in our worship assembly where we should be cautioned about our tendency to bind ourselves up in a holy huddle that pushes people away. There's a time in our worship assembly where our cliques should be confronted. There's a time in our worship assembly where each one of us here should be challenged to think about, who is that person who's on the fringe, who I haven't made feel welcome? And that time is the Lord's Supper. If you're new this morning, we're walking through the book of 1 Corinthians. And we're walking through this book because we want to be a church that is full of love. And Paul wrote this letter to a church that was incredibly divided. He wanted to bring them together to where they were centered in love. And so along the way, he has to deal with various issues within the church that are cropping up because of the divisiveness within the church. And so we've spent time talking about brothers suing brothers. We've spent time talking about, what do you do with sin within the church? We spent time talking about meat sacrificed to idols, and what do we do when we disagree about various subjects and various issues. And now Paul turns to the subject of the assembly, of the gathering together on the first day of the week. Like us here today, the Corinthian Christians would gather together on the first day of the week, and they would do some of the very same kinds of things: to worship the Lord, to be in Christian fellowship, to celebrate the Lord's Supper. Now, yes, there were some differences in the way the Corinthian church did it and the way we do it today. The Corinthian church, they met primarily in homes. The Corinthian church, probably when they got together later on in the day, towards the end of the day, whether we do it in the morning, 9:30. And in the Corinthian church, when they took the Lord's Supper, they probably took it in the context of eating a meal, whereas we just take it separately. We just take the bread and the cup. But despite those differences, the intent is the same, right? That just like the Corinthian Christians, we come together on the first day of the week to worship the Lord, to celebrate Christian unity, and to take the Lord's Supper. The problem was is that when the Corinthians were coming together, they weren't coming together to celebrate and promote Christian unity. It was having the opposite effect. Notice what Paul says in verse 18. He says, "In the first place, I hear that when you come together as a church, there are divisions among you, and to some extent, I believe it." That the assembly was manifesting within itself the divisiveness within the church. That the fact that this church was incredibly divided, it was showing up when the church came together in the worship assembly. Have you ever experienced that? Have you ever been to a church, visited maybe a church, and they've come together, they're all in the same room, but you can tell there's something wrong here. You can't put your finger on it, you don't know exactly what it is, but you can just feel it in the vibe. There is something wrong here. Everybody's spread out all over the auditorium, nobody's sitting next to one another, nobody's greeting one another, nobody's shaking people's hands, there's no joy, there's no love, it's just something odd is going on. Have you ever had that experience before? Where a church is coming together, but they're really not coming together, if you know what I mean. And that's what Paul is saying. You're coming together all in the same room, and you're going through the motions, but you really aren't together. And the place where this is really showing up is when you take the Lord's Supper. Continuing on, he says, "No doubt there have to be differences among you to show which of you have God's approval, but when you come together, it's not the Lord's Supper you eat." Yeah, you go through the motions, and you eat the bread, and you drink the cup, but you're really not taking the Lord's Supper, because when you take it, you're not manifesting Christian unity. Now, I don't know exactly what the situation was in Corinth, but from what I've studied and read and as I've looked at the text, I think this is what was going on. Let me give you a picture. And so like I mentioned, the Corinthian church would meet in a home, and they would meet later on in the day, and they would share a meal together, and in the context of that meal, they would take the Lord's Supper. Well, if they're going to share a meal, that means everybody's going to be bringing food, right? Kind of a potluck sort of thing. And you had the wealthier Christians who, because of their means, were bringing a lot of food. And they were bringing nice food, right? Because they have the money to get it. Whereas the poorer Christians, they don't have as much money, and so they can't bring as much food, and the food they bring just isn't really good. At the same time, the wealthier Christians, because they don't have to work long hours, they could come a little bit early to the church gathering. And they could get there early, and they could eat their food, all the large quantity of food that they have, they could eat it and take their time and just really enjoy the fellowship. Whereas the poorer Christians, because they had to work longer hours, because they needed the money, they would arrive later to the church gathering, and by the time they got there, the wealthier Christians would have already been there for quite some time eating their food, and they didn't have as much food to eat, and so they wouldn't be able to share as much in Christian fellowship. On top of that, we know from archaeology that Greco-Roman homes had a dining room, and in that dining room, it'd be a place where you could recline and share a meal. Well, that dining room could only seat about 8 to 10 people. And we think that maybe in a church like the Corinthian church, they might have had 40 to 50 people. And so guess who got to sit in the dining room? The people who got there first. Well, who were the people that got there first? It was the wealthier Christians. And so the wealthier Christians would arrive there early with their nice food, with their large quantity of food, and they would get to sit in the dining room area and recline with one another and share their meal and have a really good time. Whereas the poorer Christians would arrive late with a less amount of food, with food that is not that good, and they would have to sit out in the atrium. And so the Lord's Supper was being shared in that kind of context. And Paul is saying, that's not the Lord's Supper. The Lord's Supper is becoming a time where you're separating one another into two classes. Maybe another way of illustrating this is that the Corinthian church had become like an airplane. Have you flown an airplane recently? You know, on airplanes, there is the first class and the economy class, right? And the first class, you got to pay a little more money to get that ticket. And then if you don't want to pay as much money, you end up in the economy class. And the airlines do a really good job of reinforcing to passengers which class you're in, don't they? And so if you're in the first class, you know, you get the steak, right? If you're in the economy class, you get peanuts, right? If you're in the first class, they give you a beverage right when you walk on the plane. Is there anything you want to drink? When you get in the economy class, you only get a beverage when that cart gets all the way back to your seat and you get one choice, right? Or one chance at it. When you're in the first class, you got a big seat that reclines and feels good. When you're in the economy class, you get a skinny seat and your knees hit the chair in front of you. Does anyone experience what I've experienced there? When you're in the first class, they give you a blanket and a pillow and read you a bedtime story. When you're in the economy class, They don't even turn out the lights for you. They reinforce which class you are in based on the service you receive. And if you try to sit in the first class seat and you don't have a ticket for the first class, you know what they're going to do? They're going to say, get out of here. You do not belong here. This is not your area. Your area is back there, buddy. Get back there. And that was the dynamic happening in the Corinthian church. As they were coming together, they had divided themselves into different classes. And the first class, well, they got to go and sit in the dining room. And they got to eat all this really nice food and enjoy this wonderful time of being together. Whereas the economy class, well, they had to stay out in the atrium. And they didn't have as much time. And they didn't have as good of food. And if you wandered into the dining room, you need to get back out there, buddy. That's where you belong. And Paul says, that's not the Lord's Supper. That's not what it's about. It's not about separating one another into different classes to where you have a whole group of people that feel humiliated because they don't fit into the upper class. And so Paul, to solve this problem, he does what he's been doing the whole letter. He takes them back to the cross. So let me remind you what this is really all about. For I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you. As the Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, this is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. You know, what's interesting about Paul's recording of these words of institution that Jesus gave is that he's the only one, if you compare it with Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, he's the only one that emphasizes that phrase, do this in remembrance of me. He emphasizes it twice. The Gospels don't do that. And I think the reason is because Paul's wanting to remind the Corinthian church that what this supper is about, it's not about you. It's not about you getting together with your buddies and having a good time to make yourself feel good. That's not what this supper is about. This supper is about Jesus. And it's about what Jesus has done for us. And what he has done for us is he has taken his body and he's given it for us. And he has poured out his blood for all of us so that we can be a part of this new covenant and have the forgiveness. Christ has sacrificed himself for us. And this is a moment in time where we can remember that, and we can remember the sacrificial love that Christ has shown to us, and where we can demonstrate that to one another. This is a time in our assembly, Paul says, where we can proclaim that we are followers of Christ and that we are a part of the body of Christ because of Jesus Christ. And in the body of Christ, there is no such thing as first class and economy class. There's no such thing as this group and that group, and this clique and that group. That's not what it's like in the body of Christ. In the body of Christ, we are all unworthy. In the body of Christ, we all need redemption. In the body of Christ, because of the body and blood of Jesus, we are all made one. And the Lord's Supper is a demonstration of that. And he was saying, that's not what you're taking. That's not what you're doing. This is a time to remember Christ and how he brings us together by his body and blood. And they had forgotten that. And church, sometimes we forget that as well. You know, I think John Scott likes to say from time to time that church separation, church disunity, cliques, they all start in the parking lot, church parking lot. Because right when the worship assembly is done, what do? Well, we all group up. And the teens group up with their group, and the college students and young adults group up with their group, and young families group up with their group, and the middle-aged families group up with their group, and the elderly folks group up with their group, and Hope class folks group up with their group. And if you don't have a group, maybe it's based on age. It might be based on family. You group up with your biological family. I know we got a lot of families here. We group up with people that we have common interest, and we just kind of group up and separate and go about our business, and we all go out to eat with our group. And I want you to hear what I'm going to say, church. I don't think there's anything wrong with that. I mean, that's part of being church, right? Developing friendships, developing brothers and sisters in Christ who we feel close to, and we come together to see those brothers and sisters and to spend some time with them and to talk with them and to catch up on one another's lives. That's a part of being church. I don't think that's a bad thing. But I want us all to know, and again, I don't know specifics, but there's someone here who doesn't feel a part of any group. And there's someone here who has tried to be a part of one of those groups and for whatever reason has felt like they don't belong. And there's someone here who has really tried to make an attempt to get to know some of us, and for whatever reason, subtly, unintentionally, we have given the impression that they're unwanted. And there's someone here who really wants to break into the bonds of friendship that they see going on, but they just don't feel like they can. And there's someone here who feels like they're eating out in the atrium while everybody else is eating in the dining room. And there's someone here who feels like they're in economy class when everybody around them is in first class. That's the truth, folks. And the Lord's Supper is a moment where we are cautioned and where we are reminded that we're a part of the body of Christ and that this gathering, it's about Christ. This is not about coming for me. Sometimes we think that's what church is. I need to come to church so that I can feel good, so I can see my friends, so they'll make me feel better. That's not what this assembly is about. It's about Christ. It's about remembering Christ. And when we come together around the table and we share the body and the blood of Christ, it's about remembering what Christ has done for us and how we are now a part of the community of Christ, the church of Christ, and everyone is welcome in this church. For those who want to follow Christ, everyone is welcome. No one is unwanted. And the Lord's Supper is a time where we remember that. And we remember that we're a part of a body, and we need to make sure that everyone feels a part of this body. I want you to notice what Paul says toward the end of this chapter. He says in verse 29, "For anyone who eats and drinks without recognizing the body eats and drinks judgment on himself." I think what he's talking about there is he's talking about the church. And he says, when we eat and drink in the Lord's Supper, we're to think about the church. We're to think about the body of Christ and how we are all joined together through Jesus, through his body, through his blood. We're a part of this new covenant together. And no one of us should feel humiliated. No one of us should feel ashamed or unwanted or like they don't belong. We are family. And we are united through Christ. And the Lord's Supper is that moment where we can demonstrate that together. And so to prepare ourselves to take the Lord's Supper, and in light of 1 Corinthians 11, we're going to do this just a little bit differently. First of all, in a second, not right now, but in a second, I'm going to release you to offer a greeting to one another. Basically, we're going to have a greeting time. In the early church, they called this the kiss of peace. But don't worry, nobody's going to be kissing anybody, okay? But it was a chance in the early church for you to greet one another in the Lord and to offer peace. And they would actually say, peace, grace and peace. And it would be a way to say, there's nothing of enmity between you and me. We're together. We're brothers. We're sisters. We're on the same team. We're family. We're part of the church together. It was a way to tell people that you belong, that you're not unwanted. And so we're going to take a moment here in a second, and I'm going to have you get up, and I'm going to have you speak to one another, and that's what I want you to say. I want you to say grace and peace. And it's going to be awkward, it's going to be weird, okay, because we don't normally say that. But you're going to say that, and what you're going to be meaning when you say that is there's nothing between us. We're family. We're brothers and sisters. You belong. We're a part of the church together. We are bound together through Jesus. That's what we're going to be saying. And you might want to just say that to the person next to you. There might be someone across the auditorium that you want to say that to, because maybe you haven't talked to them, you don't know them really well, but you want them to know that there is peace that there, and they belong in this family. And I want to encourage you to do that. And then after our time of greeting, Joe's going to lead us in a song. And it's going to be the song, Come Share the Lord. And when he starts singing this song, you have to exercise some self-control. When he starts singing this song, you need to sit down, okay? Okay? Now, some of you, I know it's really going to be really hard because you like greeting one another, but you need to sit down when he starts singing that song. And then while we're singing that song, the men are going to come down and they're going to pass out the bread, and I want you to take a piece of the bread and hold it. Don't eat it. You'll be that weird person who's already hasn't, okay? So you hold that piece of bread, and then when we're done with the song, I will lead us in prayer, and I will read to us the words of institution, and we will take the bread together. Then we'll sing another song. The tray will be passed. Hold the cup. And then after the song, I'll lead us in another prayer, quote the words of institution, and we'll take the cup together. Did you catch all that? Time of greeting. When he leads a song, sit down, take a bread, take a pinch, hold it. I'll pray, we'll eat. Take the cup, hold it. I'll pray, and then we'll eat. All right, let's stand up, offer peace to your brothers and sisters. Let us pray. Lord, we are your family, your people, and we are bound together by your Son, Jesus. And Lord, this moment is about you. It's about remembering Christ, remembering what he did for us, and remembering that we are his family, that he gave his body for us, and we are to give our lives for one another, that we are to celebrate the sacrificial love of Christ and allow that love to flow through our lives to those around us. And so, Lord, as we take this bread, thank you for it. Thank you for the memory that it brings to us. And thank you for the body of Christ that we are now a part of. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. And Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, and he blessed it, and he broke it. And he said, "This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Let us pray. Lord, we've gathered here at this time to remember your Son, Jesus. And Lord, as we hold this cup in our hands, it reminds us of how 2,000 years ago, your Son held a similar cup in his hands. And maybe he was a little bit anxious as he held it, because he knew what it represented. It represented that within a few hours, that his blood would be poured out for each one of us. And so Lord, as we share this cup, we remember that sacrifice. We remember the love that Christ had for us that was shed on the cross, and how through that sacrifice we have a new covenant, a new relationship with you, that our sins are forgiven, and that we're a part of your body. And every single one of us who's holding this cup is a part of this body and is welcome and is invited to be a part of this local community at Southside, and that no one of us should feel humiliated or ashamed or embarrassed, because we're a part of your body because of what you've done. And so, Lord, thank you for this reminder. Thank you for this cup. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. In the same way, after supper, he took a cup. And he said, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this in remembrance of me." You might notice there's some Ziploc bags on the end of your pew, and you can put those cups in those bags at this time. One of the hidden ministries floating around here at Southside is the Prayer Shawl Ministry. It's started by our sister Georgia Strang, and she's got a number of ladies who are helping her at this time, and they're just doing a wonderful, wonderful ministry. What they do is they knit together a shawl and pray over that shawl, and then they give it to someone here at church and maybe at other places as well. That's just going through a difficult time, going through health struggle of some sort. And they give them that shawl just as an encouragement. And really what's so beautiful about that ministry, it's not just getting the shawl, and the shawl is nice, but what's special about it is when they receive that shawl, they know, that person knows, that they are loved, they are welcome here, they're a part of this family, and there are people who are praying and concerned for them. And there are literally dozens of people here at Southside who have received these prayer shawls, and it's been a tremendous encouragement. Well, one of those persons who has received a prayer shawl is Roy Bell, and I hope it's okay I can mention this, Roy, but a few weeks ago, I was in the back foyer or back hallway, and I saw Roy coming this way, and I saw Georgia coming this way. And Roy is on our prayer list, and we're praying for him. He's been through some health struggles. He's received one of those shawls. And when Georgia and Roy met, you know, let me preface this by saying there's a lot of differences between Roy and Georgia, okay? A lot of differences. And when they met, they greeted one another in the Lord. That's the only way I can describe it. They had this big bear hug. It was like a family reunion. They hadn't seen one another in years. Maybe a better way of putting it, it was a family reunion. It was a Christian family reunion. And I thought, that's so beautiful. That's what church is all about. It's about people feeling welcome and loved and received into the arms of love that come through Christ. That's what it's about. That's what the Lord's Supper demonstrates, that we're a family, that we're brothers and sisters in Christ, bound by Jesus, and we're to demonstrate that on a daily basis. And this morning, you might have come in here and you might have felt unwanted, embarrassed, ashamed, humiliated, wondering if you even really belong here. And I want you to know, you belong here. Through Jesus, you belong here. And our elders and ministers are going to surround the auditorium here in just a little bit. And if you just need to be reminded that you belong, if you just need some encouragement, if you need some strength, if you're going through a tough time, we're here to wrap our arms around you and to pray with you and to help you and to encourage you. And that's what the elders and ministers are doing. They're standing around this auditorium just so they can be present, be close, so that if you just need some encouragement from your brothers and sisters, we're here. And so during this next song, if you need that, if you need prayer, please walk to one of your spiritual leaders. If you're ready to become a Christian, to be baptized in Christ, to join this family and have your sins washed away, we would love to welcome you into God's family. Just come to the front. As we stand and as we sing, let's respond this time.